Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 13. We're going to get there in a second. Wow, what a day we live in, huh?
Yeah.
This is the scripture for the day we're living in, Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put the bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that word woe means grief, calamity, or trouble. And it's always tied to sin and rebellion against God. So I love this story in 1 Kings 3:5. God comes to Solomon in a dream. And he said, ask what I shall give you. Solomon, what does he ask for? He asked for discernment. And I'm saying this because this is what we need to ask for. We need discernment in this hour to know the truth, to know who to trust, who's preaching the truth, who's telling the truth. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he said he's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. He's our shepherd. We shall not want, right? So Solomon here asks for discernment. He wants to be able to discern the difference between what is good and what is evil. And we need to do the same thing today, in a day that they're calling good evil and evil good, to the point of the poor children that are going through so many different things in school and what is being taught and what is being presented to them. We just have to be strong in the Lord. But here he's asking that you'd give your servant a heart to judge the people, that I might discern between good and bad. He had a whole bunch of people, and he had to judge them, and he wanted God's discernment to know how to rule and how to reign over those people. And in verse 10, 11, it said God was pleased. God was very pleased that he didn't ask for a lot of other things. He didn't ask for the vengeance of his enemies. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for a long life, although God blessed him with some of that because he didn't ask for it. He said, because you ask for discernment, judging right from wrong, good from bad, he said, I'm also going to honor you and bless you. So that's our prayer. We need discernment in this hour because it helps us understand and make right choices. There's a lot of people that love the Lord, but they're not making the right choices because they're not researching, they're not studying, they're not aware of what's going on. They didn't want to hear truth. They've shut down a lot of people that were trying to warn them. And those that have listened to the Lord are making better choices, right? And it keeps us, when we are walking in discernment, it keeps us from deception. And tonight specifically, we want to talk about let no man deceive you. And we're going to give you a story in 1 Kings about a prophet that didn't follow God, but he did everything right up until the end. He followed someone that said they also were a prophet. And he ended up following men rather than God, and he paid a huge consequence for it. And so will we if we follow men. And Paul prayed for discernment for the believers, so we can pray this prayer. A lot of people send me emails, how do we pray now? We've been taught wrong. And this is a prayer we can all pray in Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and just kind of personalize it, that our love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. In knowledge. It's not this kind of love they're trying to push off in the world that doesn't judge, that doesn't stand up, doesn't do anything. But we pray for the love that would increase more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that we may approve things that are excellent, that we might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. So discernment is something that we need to ask for and we need to seek. So, Father, we pray for discernment. We pray for all those that are listening today that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that we would have a discernible heart, that we wouldn't be deceived in these end times. You said in Matthew 24, let no man deceive you. So there's going to be much deception and much falling away. But if we're following you and we have your heart and your discernment, then we can walk after the light and we won't be deceived. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians 5 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. So we're not supposed to, just because it's popular and the world is doing it, and now the world is creeping into the churches because people want more people to come, and they're lowering their standards more and more and more because they want numbers. But we aren't supposed to be a partaker of what the world is doing. But we are rather to expose them. Well, that's a fun job. To expose something means you take the mask off. What's really going on? And reveal the facts. Bring things to light. We're not talking about conspiracy things. We're talking about facts. Yeah. And what the enemy tries to do is twist that and just say, oh, you're all just, you know, into this and this and this and this. What are they doing? They're covering. It's a covering. It's a mask for the hidden plan and hidden agendas that are no longer being hidden now. They are coming out. If you go on these people's websites, the World Economic Forum, the WHO, you'll see right there the mission. Yeah. People just don't look. They don't study. They don't want to prepare for what's coming. We're not supposed to be afraid, but we are supposed to be prepared. And the only way you can be prepared is if you see. Yeah. If you see what's coming and you know. We tried to warn you about this whole Romans 1. Now, I can't even say these words, but... that they're trying to get people, children especially, to reject their own bodies. We ran into someone the other day. I just felt so bad. Everything about this person was changed and different. And being taught to hate yourself at a young age, that the stuff God gave you is bad. It's not good. You got to change this, change that, change everything. And that's about all I can say about that. But everything that God made, even the earth, everything, the food, everything is what the enemy wants to do is take away anything that's good, right? And bring in lab meats, bring in all these different lab bio formulas, right? We're called to stand against evil and expose it. Even though it's not a good, fun, thrilling thing to do, we're called to do that. Why? So we can expose it and stand against it and not embrace it. If we have more leaders that were talking about some of these things, they wouldn't have been deceived. Yeah. Because there's going to be, from 2020 to 2030, there's going to be a lot more things coming. Agenda 2030, as we've been trying to prepare, it's even hard to prepare because it's just like, what are they going to think of next? Yeah. But they definitely want more injections. They want that constantly. It's going to be another... you just have to prepare for what is in their plans as they want to use every crisis. Yeah. Never let a good crisis go to waste so they can bring in agendas. You have to know this is just what is happening, and it is preparing and stepping towards the mark of the beast. As we don't like talking about it, a lot of people don't, it's in there, and we're seeing things little by little. Actually, it's not even little anymore. We're starting to see the setup of how you could see that people have to take a mark or they can't buy or sell. I mean, it's actually something we could all say, wow, we could see that coming. So in 1 Kings chapter 13, I want to kind of condense this to make this a short story. It could be a really long story, but the whole thing about this is we have to obey the Lord now and not follow men. There's a lot of religious leaders that say they come in His name that are leading people astray. And there's a good lesson in here in 1 Kings chapter 13. And this was after the death of Solomon. And there was Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And Jeroboam was the king of Israel, and he was evil. He was very evil. So God sent, I like in verse 13, he just had a man. He didn't have a title. It wasn't so-and-so, but it was just a man. And he came out of Judah by the word of the Lord, and he cried against all the things that Jeroboam was doing. He was all these kings, once they got power, they always worshiped the wrong gods. And... So here comes this man of God, and he's starting to tell him. And it came to pass in verse 4, King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God. He was crying against what he was doing, crying against all the wickedness. And this has not stopped. It's undercover, but they've always been worshiping false gods. which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar. In other words, he's becoming forceful. He's going to try to stop the man of God from speaking. And so what happens? He tried to use force, but God was with him, and he stopped his hand, and it dried up. He couldn't move his hand. God will do signs and wonders if he wants to. We don't make him do it, but he had a mission to perform. And it wasn't just about Jeroboam. He was leading the whole nation astray. So the altar was rent, and on it goes. Now, he had specific orders that he was not supposed to take any bread, any drink, any rewards. He was not supposed to go back to Bethel. He was supposed to continue on his journey. And he did really well in the beginning. He did great. He did not get deceived. Jeroboam tried to bribe him. Come to my house. I'll give you food. I'll give you a reward. And he was like, no, I cannot. God has told me that I can't eat, I can't drink, and I have to continue on. So he did really, really good until he runs into, let's look at verse 15. Come home and eat with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee. I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. He met up with a person that's, you know, telling him, come home with me. And this is a false prophet. In verse 17, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said, the man that approached him on his journey, he said, I am a prophet also. Now, when God tells us something and somebody else comes along and tells us something different, how many times have we submitted to the person that we thought, well, maybe they heard from God? Well, listen to what he said. He is a liar. He said, I am a prophet also, as thou art, and an angel. Oh, here goes that angel. Here comes an angel. He's doing the angel trick. Oh, an angel came and appeared to me. It's as old as the hills, isn't it? He said, I'm a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into mine house, that he may eat bread, drink water. But he lied unto him. This prophet, so-called, had an agenda. And I was thinking about that. All these people have agendas. He wasn't here to obey God. But as you see later on in the story, this man, because he went with him, now remember, he resisted the king. He resisted rewards. He resisted all this stuff, but he fell for the seduction of someone that said they were a prophet. So this man had an agenda, and I believe what the agenda was, because this actually the Lord said, because you disobeyed me, he ended up getting destroyed by a lion. So he ended up, his disobedience caused his death. That's quite amazing. Now, I forgot the point I was trying to say. Oh, his agenda was, I believe, he wanted to get close to God. Because he said, I'm going to get buried right next to that real man of God, and I want to be by his bones. He didn't have his own walk with God. He wanted to drain and pull on somebody else. Isn't that something? But in verse 33, because this man of God didn't obey, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way. So there was more at stake, and probably a lot that we don't know about. But sometimes when we're on a mission and we're supposed to do something for the Lord, the devil will always try to sidetrack us, to get us off. And I just can't even tell you that there's so many false preachers out there right now. That all they're talking about is you and what you can have and how great you are and your destiny, your dream. It has nothing to do with the true gospel. The whole gospel is about picking up our cross, following him. Nothing about, it's all about you. In fact, in these end times, so many Christians, I believe, are going to not be prepared mentally because they were promised a lie. Yeah. They've been lied to by these false teachers that are telling them all these promises. So we don't want to follow man. In Matthew 24, it says, in the end times, let no man deceive you. That means there's going to be this huge temptation to be deceived by man. And I look back the areas that I fell in, I would say false doctrine when I first got saved, it was men. I thought they were men of God.
Yeah.
I thought they, and then I knew, I thought this faith message is not right because it doesn't work.
Amen.
And I saw a lot of people fall and backslide and not healed. And I thought, so wait, but there were some of the other stuff I didn't realize was just as bad, the prophetic. The Lord said, we're going to get into that. But anyway, verse 4 in Jeremiah 7 says, trust not in lying words. Well, how do we know if someone's lying or not? We have to pray for discernment. We have to pray the Lord would give us discernment. Lord, give us discernment. Let us know the truth from the false, the good from the bad, the light from the darkness. Will we be as gullible as this young prophet was? That he started off so well. He said no to the king, but he fell to a false prophet. That's amazing lesson right there. He dropped his guard when someone said God. We can drop our guard when we think somebody is religious or spiritual. So actually, it was the tongue of the old prophet that led to his death. He listened to the wrong voice, and he didn't obey. Okay. The battle that we have facing today is the battle for our Bibles. What is truth? What is a lie? They're trying to change everything about the Bible. But if you know this, you're going to be prepared, and you're going to be able to stand and stay on that narrow path. So Paul wrote, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We do the same thing. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. Who's Christ? He's fully God, perfect. Who are we? Helpless sinners. The false gospels don't want to say, the people that are preaching a false gospel, that you are a sinner, that you need help. That's how we accept our Savior, is we know we are not one. So what did his death accomplish? Payment for your sins. That is the gospel. That's the freedom. And then we have a hope. Where a lot of people don't have hope today, we have hope. Our sins have been forgiven, and we're going to another place, right? We believe hell is real. That's another false doctrine going around. There is no hell.
Right.
They're just ripping those pages of their Bible out. So the everlasting gospel in Revelation 14:6 was promised before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. And it cannot change with time or culture. The culture can do whatever it wants to make certain things appear right, to pass laws, to get kids to do this and that, to brainwash people, to try to force certain things upon us. Certain corporations now are pushing certain things. We're seeing it forced upon us in many, many ways. The Bible's not going to change. Just because the culture's changing and the culture's coming into some churches, that doesn't mean God's in it at all. Hebrews 1:3, and this is so important. 1:1-3, read that whole thing. God spoke in times past by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We are now living through Jesus Christ, the New Testament. We are now through his Son, he's speaking. And he upholds all things by the what? The power of his word. And the Bible says his word is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? So I think that's really important because people are trying to run to a prophet. They're trying to run to another person that says, this is what God's saying. Like this lady that's telling everyone she goes to heaven and she has Jell-O up in heaven. She sees, who's even believing this stuff? I didn't think anybody still was. We ran into a couple not too long ago. It's like, people are still believing this stuff. But I want to close with a couple little things here. The Bible's full of stories of God speaking to his people. God speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden. God speaking to Moses from the burning bush. God speaking to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. In each case, God told people his will, and when God told them what he wanted of them. Adam and Eve defied God, even though they knew what he wanted of them. Jonah heard from the Lord, and he still ran away. Abraham heard from the Lord, and he obeyed. Although the Bible, we see God speaking and giving guidance, instruction, in these last days, God is speaking to us by his Son. He's not given one prophet over here all this extra biblical revelation knowledge that we need to follow him. God's not going to do that. He's speaking to us by his Son now. In the Old Testament, he spoke different ways, but he's not promising to speak to us that way now in the New Testament. He speaks to us by his Son. And if you know that and you get into your Bible and then what someone's preaching, it's not real or it's not right, you'll know you won't be deceived. Because you have discernment. You said, well, he's right on there, but now he's going off the wrong path. This is what we have to do now and not be running to a man to hear a word from God. Because this is how this young little prophet got off. And this is a great lesson for us not to be running after men, right? And then lastly, people are getting rid of the Bible. They're basically having church, and they might do a scripture or so, but they're basically trying to entertain. They don't think that the Bible is really relevant. So it's widespread in spirit-filled churches where prophetic words have now replaced Bible teaching. Come and get a word from the Lord. Well, I was in some of those movements, and I can tell you, I don't think any one of those words that were ever prophesied over me came to pass. Oh, the Lord would say unto you this and this and this and this, and I can't even tell you how many prophetic words I've had over my life. And so many of them are just general. Yeah. They say nothing. Yeah. Where prophetic words have replaced Bible teaching. Oh, you don't want to teach. I remember this one teacher goes, oh, teaching's done away with. We don't want teaching anymore. Now we're just going to listen to what the Spirit says. Well, I would ask you, what Spirit? Yeah. They infer that we should trust the Holy Spirit over the Bible. One Spirit-filled, I'd say that's not really true, but this old book is divisive. I'm only going to trust the Holy Spirit. That is called deception. That's worse than a cow at a new gate, as they used to say. So what's causing this? Why are people not believing the Bible? Why don't people want to read the Bible anymore? The answer is global, sexual, and social justice revolution. We are now seeing a day where people now want to go in the Spirit and they want to get words from the Lord, but they don't want to go to the Lord of the Word. So we have to pray. Father, we thank you for all of us in this day and hour that we know there is so much deception out there. There's so many prophetic words. And there's so many people that are following after men. And we just repent for that. We know that you can use men, but we have to stop putting men in the place that you should be. You're the one that saved us. And Father, you'll lead us to our right friends. And there's people that don't want to walk with us anymore for whatever reason. We thank you for people that do. We thank you for the shaking that's happening now. We thank you for your remnant, the bride that wants to see and hear. We thank you for the virgins that are filled with oil. They're not empty, they're filled. They're staying filled, even though this is a hard, trying time, because they want to walk in the light. And that's what we want. We want discernment. We want to walk in the light. And we thank you, Father, you're speaking to us through your Son. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.